Premuna is an especially sacred place for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It is a holy place that the Supreme Lord and His most confidential associates have come to worship. This particular murti of Lord Krishna, Kirchhor Gopina, has been adored with the greatest levels of pure unalloyed devotion by the Lord and His associate. When Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Srila Madhavendra Puri, all the devotees, when they would come from Bengal, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, they would all come every year to Bengal. And they were struck with unlimited ecstasy upon seeing this murti. When we look at the deity, why are we not struck with such ecstasy? Why are not we weeping and crying and praying that this darshan will never end? It is because our hearts are still covered by the egoistic desire to try to enjoy our own selfish pursuits in this material world. The true glories of love of God can be understood only by those whose every act, word, and thought is for the pleasure of Krishna. This is our aspiration. Tapasya means to accept what is favorable for pleasing Krishna and to reject whatever is unfavorable, both within and without. This is the price by which paying Krishna reveals Himself. We may not be able to see the all-merciful, all-beautiful personality of Godhead who attracts our hearts in complete dedication when we look upon the form of Gopiya. However, it should be our prayer. When we come before Sri Kirchhor Gopina, we should be praying. What is it that the great souls see when they see you? Why I cannot? Please, my Lord, remove all impediments to my surrender to you. Gopinath means the Lord of the Gopis. What was the standard of the love of the Gopis? They were the very perfection of Krishna's teachings of Sri Bhagavad Gita. In the 18th chapter, Krishna concludes the essence of all knowledge, especially in two verses. Man mana bhavamadvato madhyatana namaskuru. Man evaishashi satyante prati janitriyoshi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is my promise because you are my dear friend. Krishna spoke the theoretical understanding of how we achieve Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we read of devotees who practically demonstrate this verse in their lives. And we learn how to practice this verse by following in the footsteps of those who Krishna has revealed to us. And of all such devotees, Krishna himself has said, the gopis of Vrindavan, they are foremost. How are they always thinking of Krishna? They could not think of anything but Krishna. When Krishna was living in Vrindavan, their every thought was simply to please him. Krishna says in Gita, Sarva Dharman Paritya Jama Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Yashanima Sajna. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, and after Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis were the very, very essence of all transcendental spiritual bliss. They were the embodiments of the teachings of Gita. When Krishna played upon his flute, the gopis abandoned everything, the comforts of their home, the love of their family members, attachments to their husbands, children, and in-laws. They abandoned all the social traditions and customs that are meant for a chaste Vedic woman. They abandoned all fears to enter into the forest in the dead of night. Total surrender. And no thought could ever come to substitute their desire to serve Krishna. When they went into the forest to meet Krishna on Sarat Purnima, and whenever else Krishna called upon them with his flute, their only reason was to give Krishna pleasure. Krishna is reciprocating with the love of his devotees. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam. Because my devotee always thinks of me, I always think of my devotee. Because my devotee has no one else in his heart except me, I have no one else in my heart except my devotee. Gopinath means the Lord of the Gopis, who is the life and soul of the Gopis. When we follow in the footsteps of the Gopis, not always hearing the glories of the Lord, every day, all day, they would simply chant the glories of the Lord and sing his holy name, and to abandon everything that comes between us and Krishna. That is to follow in the footsteps of the Gopis. When our life is modeled on this principle, then when we see Krishna, Imanjana Turita Bhakti Vilojana, then he reveals himself, not as a piece of stone with eyes, but as the all-beautiful, all-attractive personality of Godhead. Those persons who follow in the footsteps of gopis, who follow in the footsteps of those who are the servants of gopis, Krishna reveals his ultimate treasure of love only to them. Today we are all following in the footsteps of the great souls. We have come a long way in the heat of the summer month of Vaishakha, in these buses, for so many long hours, the Jagannath Puri, just to worship Lord Gopinath. We have not come here to see Lord Gopinath. We have come here to be seen by Lord Gopinath. We have come here to serve Lord Gopinath, to worship him, to offer him our hearts and our lives in the footsteps of the great souls. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's journey from Shantipur to Jagannath Puri. This took place after he had taken sannyas, and Sachi Devi requested through the devotees that he live in Jagannath Puri, in the beautiful shelter of Lord Jagannath's lotus feet. So on the way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very happily came right here to this village of Revuna. There's a very famous deity named Kirtur Gopinath. Lord Chaitanya came into this temple, and when he saw the beauty of the deity, he was so much struck with great love that he offered his prostrated obeisances right at the feet of Lord Gopinath. As he was laying at the feet of Gopinath, by Gopinath's mercy, a helmet of flowers that was decorating his head fell down right onto the head of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Receiving this mercy from Lord Gopinath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He began to chant the holy names with his four associates and dance. How they danced, exhibiting so many transcendental ecstatic symptoms. Lord Chaitanya was chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing for a long time for the pleasure of Lord Gopinath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to spend the entire night here because he wanted to receive the sweet rice from Gopinath. During the night, after beautiful kirtan of sweet singing of Krishna's holy names, Lord Chaitanya explained the story of Kirtura Gopinath and how he became so famous as the Lord who stole sweet rice. Previously, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this story from his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, which is a narration about his spiritual master, Srila Madhavendra Puri. In great, great happiness, Lord Chaitanya told the story to the devotees while sitting right here. As the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Chaitanya, in great happiness, I would like to also tell you this story. By the mercy of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we can repeat to you the very same words Lord Chaitanya spoke. Srila Madhavendra Puri was the very personification of ecstatic love of God. He traveled to many holy places. We read in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, as well as in Bhakti Ratnakara, of Madhavendra Puri's various travels, how he met Lord Nityananda Prabhu in the western provinces of India. He came to the most holy of all places, Sri Vrindavan Dham. He traveled through all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Then he came to Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is the most sacred place in all of Vrindavan. And at Govardhan Hill is Shama Kund and Radha Kund. Madhavendra Puri performed parikrama all the way around Govardhan Hill. He came to Govinda Kund. Govindakund is the place where Lord Indra surrendered to Krishna after Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand for 7 days and seven nights. And the residents of Vrindavan amongst the cows said, Krishna, you are our Indra. We don't require this other Indra. We are fully surrendered to you. At Govindakund, Madhavendra Puri took his bath, then sat under a tree. Madhavendra Puri was so humble, he would never ask anyone for anything for his own personal interest. Thus, he would not even eat unless someone just came and gave him food. He was sitting under this tree. At that time, a very beautiful, charming little cowherd boy approached him with a bucket of milk and said, oh, I have been told that you have not had any food today. I have brought you this milk. Madhavendra Puri asked this little cowherd boy, how did you know that I was fasting? Who are you? And what is your name? And where are you from? The cowherd boy said, I live in this village. And the ladies who bring water from Govindakund, they gave me this milk and told me that you were fasting all day and I should give it to you. In my village, no one fasts. Some people beg for food. Some people just take a little milk. And others who are so humble, they ask for nothing. I personally come to supply them. However, it's time to milk the cows, so now I must go. You please drink this milk, and I will come later to collect the pot. The little boy disappeared. Madhavendra Puri drank the milk to his great satisfaction. He washed the pot. He looked in the direction of the road, waiting for the boy to return. The boy never returned. Madhavendra Puri could not sleep that night. Therefore, he sat under this beautiful kalpa vriksha tree of Brajbhumi, and all night, with great love, he chanted the holy names. Just toward the end of the night, this little boy, the same child, appeared in a dream. This beautiful cowherd boy caught Madhavendra Puri by the hand and brought him to a thick area of bushes. He said, in this bush, I have been laying for a long time waiting for you. I have been suffering due to scorching heat, pouring rain, dust, bitter cold. I have been observing your devotional service for some time, and due to your ecstatic love, I have been waiting only for you. My name is Gopal, and I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. In this form, I was originally installed by the great grandson of Lord Krishna, Vajra, and I was worshipped on the top of Govardhan Hill. But after some time, the Yavana soldiers came to attack this village. And the pujari, he hid me in this bushes. Then he fled. Due to fear, he never came back. So I have been sitting here in the rain of the monsoon season, in the heat of the summer, in the freezing cold of the winter, just waiting for Madhavendra. Please bring the local villagers to take me out of here and make a temple for me on top of Govardhan Hill and bathe me with the refreshing cool waters of Sri Govinda Kund. I have come to deliver all the world by my beautiful darshan. Then the boy disappeared. Madhavendra Puri woke up. At first he was thinking that Krishna personally came to me to give me milk, and I did not even recognize him. I offered him no obeisances, nothing. He felt very much ashamed. But then he took the order of Krishna as his life and soul. He went to the local village and he told the people, Govardhan Dhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, is living in the bushes and he wants us to save him. Please come and bring your choppers and spades. The Brijabasis had to clear the way by chopping through the bushes and cutting through thick, thick thorns. And finally, when they came to that place, they were astonished. There was the beautiful form of Gopal, covered with leaves and dust. First they washed him very carefully. He was very heavy. The strongest men of the village had to somehow lift him, and they brought him to the top of Govardhan Hill. There they got one big, big stone and made an altar for him to stand on, and another big, big stone to support him from behind. Then Madhavendra Puri, he began to organize the wonderful festival. They brought 900 pots of water from Govinda Kund. They filtered it. First Madhavendra Puri called the townspeople. So many started coming. Madhavendra Puri took oil, and large quantities of oil, he massaged the entire body of Gopal till he was shining in a glossy color. Then he performed the first abhishek with water from Govinda Kund. Then in the second abhishek, he offered panchagavya, cow dung, cow urine, ghee, yogurt, and milk, the five nectars of the cow. Then panchamrita, the five sweet nectars, ghee, yogurt, milk, sugar, and honey. Then they performed the mahasnan with large quantities of water and ghee. Then again, he massaged his body with oils to make him shine. Then another abhishek with scented, very cool, refreshing, scented water, scents of flowers. And this was poured on Gopal with the use of conch shells. Then he was dried and decorated and offered scents in very, very beautiful, fine, silken clothes. He was offered some ornaments and a flute. He was offered garlands and flowers to decorate him. Then they offered him lamps, then bhoga. So much bhoga. The entire village was bringing their stocks of so much bhoga. Madhavendra Puri then performed the arti. Then he made a little bed for the deity at actually, he placed the deity in the bed, and because there was no temple at the time, he took straw and made like straw walls all around the bed as a temporary temple. Then he told those who were helping him, now feed everyone without discrimination. Everyone who has come, feed them as much as they like. Gopal's Mahaprasad. After everything was over, and the deity took rest, Madhavanjapuri took just a little milk preparation himself. When the people of the village heard about this, they wanted so much to make a grand festival for Gopal. The next morning they came with every bit, all the houses, they brought all their grains, all their ghee, all their milk, all their spices, all their vegetables, everything. Not considering what will tomorrow bring, only considering what will Gopal be happy. There was, I believe, 10 Brahmins cooking grains, and 5 Brahmins cooking sabjis, and 7 Brahmins cooking chapatis, covering them with ghee. And soon the whole village, the whole top of the mountain of that area was covered with preparations. Thousands of preparations. When the devotees, the Brijabasis, saw this, they considered, Madhavanjapuri is so merciful. The same Anakuta that appeared 5,000 years ago when Krishna was here is again being reenacted by his mercy. Wonderful kirtan and singing and playing of instruments and dancing. And then, by the mercy of Sri Gopal, everyone was fed. Enormous sums of Mahaprasad. When people from other villages heard this, they all wanted to offer everything to Gopal. Each one registered to have one day for their village. In this way, one after another, every day another village would come with ox carts and ox carts full of bhoga. Madhavendrapuri initiated the Brahmins who were helping and engaged them in the service of the deity. This went on for many, many months. Soon 2 renounced Brahmins came from Bengal. Madhavendrapuri initiated them and entrusted them with the service of the deity. People were so enthused, the people of Vrindavan, that they were just bringing everything they had to offer Gopal. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, Mathura is a city of capitalists who have lots of money. The Brijabasis from Mathura, they were coming and offering fine gold and silver and ornaments and plates and jewels. One Kshatriya, who was from a royal dynasty, constructed a beautiful, beautiful temple on top of Govardhan Hill. Each and every family in all of Brajabhumi voluntarily gave one cow to Gopal. Gopal had thousands and thousands of cows, so much milk, so much wealth. Meanwhile, Madhavanjapuri would perform all the puja with his assistants all day, and after the deity took rest, once a day he would take a little milk preparation. Kaviraj Goswami says, there is no better place to worship Krishna than Vrajbhumi, because the residents of Vrindavan have natural love for Krishna, and Krishna has natural love for them. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also says that all of our temples are Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. In this way, 2 years passed. One night, Madhavendra Puri had a dream. Gopal appeared to him and spoke. Madhavendra Puri, still I am suffering from so much heat. Please go to Sri Jagannath Puri and there get sandalwood from the Malayan hills. Bring that back to me and smear it upon my body and I will be refreshed. I see no one else who could do this except you. Please go quickly. Madhavendra Puri, taking this order as his life and soul, as soon as he woke in the morning, he gave instructions to the pujaris of how to perform the deity worship in his absence, and all alone he immediately began to walk from Vrindavan to Sri Jagannath Puri. It is well over 1,000 kilometers, long way. By train, it's about 40 hours. Walking, it's about a couple months. Madhavendra Puri began to walk, fixed in his devotional service. Here he was in Vrindavan, this big, big, beautiful, wonderful temple. Personal service all day, every day to the most beautiful, all-attractive deity of Gopal. So many loving disciples around him. The whole of Vrindavan simply loved him and adored him. But he left it all because it was the desire of the Lord. As he was walking, he came to this village, Remuna. And he heard about the beautiful, beautiful deity named Gopinath. He came into the temple. When he saw Gopinath, he offered his prostrated obeisances. Upon seeing this beauty, he began to dance and dance and dance in ecstatic love while chanting the holy name. There was a corridor where people could view the deities. There, Madhavendra Puri was dancing and chanting, While he was dancing and chanting, he was noticing how very well organized everything was. He could understand they must be offering very, very nice bhoga to the deities. And he was thinking, for my service to Gopal, it will be nice to know how they offer their bhoga. He inquired from one of the pujaris. And he said, there is a particular preparation that is famous throughout the world. It is kheer, sweet rice. It is offered every evening in 12 earthen pots. This sweet rice tastes like nectar. Therefore, it is called Amrita Keli. Madhavendra Puri was thinking, if, without my asking, someone gives me some of that sweet rice, then I will understand how it's made and we will arrange to make it in our kitchens in Vrindavan for Gopal. However, then he thought, how shameful I am that I am thinking of eating an offering while it's still being offered to Gopinath. Then the 12 earthen pots were taken off the altar. Arti began. Beautiful arti, where the lamps were waved before the beautiful transcendental form of Sri Gopinathji. Immediately after the arti, Madhavendra Puri offered his obeisances and left that place. feeling ashamed by what he considered an offense, he went to the village marketplace. At that time, no one was there. He sat down to chant the holy names. The pujari, after making the offering and performing the archi, put the deity to rest. Then he himself went to take rest. When he was sleeping, Gopinathji appeared to him in a dream. "Oh, pujari, you offered me 12 pots of sweet rice, but you only took 11 off, because I have stolen one pot of sweet rice from my dear devotee Madhavendra Puri due to his love for me. Behind me is a cloth curtain. You go immediately. You look under that cloth curtain. You take that pot of sweet rice, which I tricked you into thinking that you had taken. And you deliver it to Madhavendra Puri." The pujari immediately woke up, took his bath, opened the doors to the temple, went inside, lifted the cloth curtain. There was the pot of sweet rice, which by the trick of Gopinath was stolen for Sri Madhavendra Puri. Pujari came out, went into the streets of Remuna, and called out, "Oh, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, where are you? There is no one in all the three worlds more fortunate than you. Gopinath has stolen sweet rice for you. Please come and claim your share of sweet rice." He was calling this everywhere. Madhavendra Puri in the marketplace, sitting alone, heard. He came forward and identified himself. The Brahman offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of Madhavendra Puri, who lifted him up and embraced him. The pujari told him the whole story. "Gopinath appeared to me in a dream and told me he stole this kheer just to be delivered to you because you are his dear devotee." When Madhavendra Puri heard this, he began to weep in ecstatic love, meditating on the mercy of the Lord. Then, with great love and devotion, he ate that kheer. He took the empty pot and broke it into small pieces and kept it tied up in his outer cloth. Every day after that, he would eat one little piece of the clay pot and would cry in ecstatic love. Madhavendra Puri, that very night, began to think, "Now the Gopinath has performed this great mercy of stealing the kheer for me. Big crowds will come to meet with me tomorrow morning. I will become very famous, and devotees never like fame." Therefore, Madhavendra Puri offered his obeisances to Gopinath, and before the morning even came, he left Remuna. After many days, he arrived in Sri Jagannath Puri. When he saw Balaram, Subhadra, and the blessed Lord Sri Jagannathji, Madhavendra Puri began to exhibit all various symptoms of ecstatic love. As he wept and cried and trembled at his paleness on his body, he was dancing and dancing and dancing before Jagannath, loudly chanting the holy names. Within a matter of minutes, people started approaching him because his fame had spread throughout Jagannath Puri. The great Madhavendra Puri, who the famous Gopinath has stolen sweet rice for, has come to our city. Everyone was wanting to serve him and receive his blessings. Immediately, Madhavendra Puri wanted to run out of Puri. However, he was thinking that I have my service for Gopal. Srila Prabhupada explains pratishta, recognition, prestige, fame. Devotees do not like this because it is one of the greatest, most difficult disturbances to pure devotional service. Srinadapi sunichena tarorapi sunichena. A devotee who wants to be humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree, wants to offer all respects to others and does not like any respect for him or herself. Materialistic people are opposite of this. However, for the service of the Lord, sometimes a devotee is willing to accept respect and honor from others. Not for himself, but to help those people who are respected. Therefore, a devotee is actually in the mood of the servant of those who are honoring. And he is only taking it for their benefit as a humble service, not for his own happiness. In fact, it puts him in distress. So Madhavendra Puri explained to the pujaris of Lord Jagannath, who were willing to do anything for him, about the installation of Gopal and his request for sandalwood. So these pujaris, some of them knew government officials and made arrangements for sandalwood and camphor to be donated. In those days, sandalwood and camphor were all under government control and very costly. So after bringing 82 pounds of sandalwood and several ounces of camphor, they packed it nicely. They gave Madhavendra Puri two servants to help him to bring it to Vrindavan and gave him certain certified government papers to show that he had not stolen it. So he began his journey, very, very difficult. Once you leave Orissa, so many different countries of Yavana kings, practically all Yavana kings, with so many dacoits and so many highway robbers and so many watchmen and so many toll booths and tax booths, so many formalities. Devotees don't like to do this bureaucracies. One time, all of his sandalwood and all of the camphor were confiscated. It was taken away by the government watch people. And then he had to show his documents and prove to them and preach to them. And finally they gave him back. So much difficulty. And carrying it was so difficult. It's so dangerous. He came on his way back to Vrindavan to Sri Ramana. In Ramuna, he came before his most beloved, merciful Lord, Sri Gopinath, who is now famous throughout all the lands as Sri Gopinath. He is known as Kirchor Gopinath only to glorify his devotee Madhavendra Puri, to show how those who allow Krishna to steal their hearts, steal Krishna's heart. When he came, he began to dance in great ecstasy before Gopinath. He celebrated the aarti of Gopinath. The pujari saw him and was so happy, immediately gave him sweet rice. Thank you. Madhavendrapuri decided that he would spend the night here and leave in the next morning. That night, Gopal appeared in a dream and said to Madhavendrapuri, I wanted to test you by sending you all the way to Jagannath Puri to get this sandalwood and then have to carry it all the way back to Vrindavan. But it is too much trouble. You have passed the test. You have shown the world the glories of a devotee. Now, you take all of the sandalwood and camphor and you grind it together, and throughout the entire summer season, you smear it upon the body of Gopinath. Because Gopinath and Gopal are one and the same. We are the self-same person. I will be completely refreshed if you put this sandalwood and camphor on Gopinath. Please do this without question. It is my order. In great ecstasy, Madhavendrapuri woke up. He informed the pujaris of Gopinath's temple. And they were very happy. Madhavendrapuri said, these two servants that Jagannath Puri pujaris have given me, they will help you grind. You also supply two servants to grind and grind all day grinding. And prepare this chandan, cover the entire body of Gopinath every day throughout the summer season. In great, great happiness, Madhavendrapuri spent the entire summer here in Renuna. And when he saw the beautiful, beautiful form of Gopinath covered with cooling chandan, his heart was completely refreshed in spiritual happiness. After the summer season ended, Madhavendrapuri returned to Jagannath Puri for the entire duration of the Chaturmasya until the Kartik ended. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling this story, his heart was filled with bliss glorifying his devotee. He asked Nityananda Prabhu, please examine, is there anyone who can compare to having received good fortune like Madhavendrapuri? What is the standard of his devotion and what is Krishna's mercy upon him? The beautiful deity of Gopal, the king of Govardhan Hill, personally appeared to him and is delivering the whole world only because of the love of Madhavendrapuri. Three times Krishna appeared to Madhavendrapuri in dreams. And then Gopinath played the most auspicious transcendental trick of stealing sweet rice from Madhavendrapuri. And after he showed the whole world the glories of Madhavendrapuri's unalloyed devotion, he satisfied all of his desires. Lord Chaitanya with his own mouth was tasting the sweetness of the glories of Madhavendrapuri. He said Madhavendrapuri would never even travel with a companion because he was afraid of speaking something except Krishna. But yet, he was willing to accept so much fame and adoration if that was required to serve the Supreme Personality of God. Madhavendrapuri, he would not eat ever if people did not just give him food, if it just did not come by Krishna's arrangement. He would not even beg for a grain of rice or a roti. But yet, for the service of Gopinath, he traveled thousands of kilometers just to beg for sandalwood. Beg and beg and beg. This was Yukta Vairagya. For Krishna's service, we are very eager and enthused. to accept whatever is favorable. But for our own personal sense gratification, we should be very, very humble. We should not endeavor. We cannot imitate the standard of Madhavendra Puri's devotion, but certainly we can make it the goal of our life to follow in that path. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Madhavendra Puri, he was the very root of love of God in this world. The seed of pure unalloyed love in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan began with Madhavendra Puri in our sampradaya and later became the great tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with many branches to spread the fruits of this love of God. Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya explained, when he was in his last days, he was chanting a particular verse. Kaviraj Goswami explains that after saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. By continuously rubbing, the aroma of Malaya sandalwood increases. Similarly, by considering this verse, its importance increases. As the Kastuba Mani is considered the most precious of valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of mellow poems. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the world by Madhavendra Puri. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth man is capable of understanding it. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. The verse reads as follows. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? After speaking this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground unconscious in ecstatic love. Nityananda Prabhu placed Lord Chaitanya's head on his lap. Then crying, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to external consciousness. Trying to recite this verse, he could only say, Aidina, Aidina. He began to run here and there, everywhere, running, dancing. In front of Gopinath, he was dancing, inducing all the devotees to chant the holy name. There was trembling, perspiration, jubilant shock, fading of bodily luster, disappointment, moroseness, loss of memory, pride, joy and humility were all visible in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. This verse uncovered the treasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner ecstasies for the whole world to see. Sri Madhavendra Puri ki. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced all the servants of Gopinath to start dancing in kirtan, chanting the holy name. Soon crowds of people came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing. Then Lord Chaitanya came back into his external consciousness. In the meantime, the offering of sweet rice had been finished. And then the resounding bell for aarti began. And when the deities were laid down to rest, Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were dancing and dancing and dancing, chanting, chanting, and chanting for the pleasure of Gopinath. Then the pujari came out and offered all 12 pots of sweet rice to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of which he was waiting throughout the entire day. In great, great happiness, he took 5 of those pots for his 4 assistants and himself. The other 7 he gave back to the pujari to distribute. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, in great, great ecstatic love, they tasted the nectarine sweetness of Lord Gopinath, remembering the glories of Sri Madhavendra Puri's love. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said that Gopinath and Lord Chaitanya are the same person. He actually already ate it. Lord Chaitanya already ate it and tasted all 12 pots in the form of Gopinath. But just to show the world the glory of devotional service, he ate it again. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki. After tasting the sweet rice, Lord Chaitanya and his associates continued their journey to Sri Jagannath Puri. Here in Ramana is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Several very important places are here to see. Of course, one is Lord Gopinath. On one side is Madan Mohan, on the other side is Govinda deity. The story of Kirchhor Gopinath is very, very beautiful also, how this deity manifested. When Lord Sri Ramchandra was living in Chitrakoot with Sita and Lakshman on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga, Sita one day asked Lord Ram, while living in that beautiful forest, "I want to see how you will appear in your next incarnation." Lord Sri Ram picked up a stone from near Mandakini Ganga, and with his own arrow, he carved this beautiful deity of Gopinath. That this is the beautiful form of Krishna that I will appear in my next incarnation. Sita was so much attracted to this beautiful form of Gopinath that she worshipped him in this form while living in Chitrakoot. They left Chitrakoot to travel to many places. In fact, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman also came to Ramana. It was such a very, very peaceful, beautiful forest. Because it was so pleasing, he named it Ramana, which means very pleasing. And later it became Ramana. And in order for Sita to have a nice place to bathe with 7 arrows, he created a river. And still that river flows not far from here. But in the dry season, in Kali Yuga, it does not flow very deep. So Gopinath was living for many years from the time of Lord Ram in Chitrakoot. In Orissa, the great king who built the Sun Temple in Konark, he wanted to go around to invite so many other kings to come to celebrate the opening of his temple. This king went to Chitrakoot, and there he saw the beautiful form of Gopinath. Gopinath appeared to him in a dream and told him, please take me to Jagannath Puri. So the king brought Gopinath on a procession. He was bringing him to Jagannath Puri. But they stopped here in Remuna, and they couldn't move the deity. Then Gopinath appeared to him in Ged and said, I want to stay here. This is a very nice place. Since that time, Gopinath has been worshipped here in Remuna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped him here. Madhavendra Puri worshipped him here. Ishwara Puri worshipped him here. Nityananda Prabhu worshipped him here. As all of the Bengali devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Advaita Srivas, they all worshipped him here. In the next generation, Shyamananda Goswami worshipped him here. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, they all came to Remuna to offer their love and devotion to Sri Gopinath. In two places, toward the rear of the courtyard, as well as just beside the temple, on Gopinath's right side, are the installed footprints of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to commemorate his most glorious visit to Sri Vrindavan. In the rear of the courtyard, to Gopinath's left, is the Samadhi Mandir of the foremost of all the many, many hundreds and thousands of disciples of Shyamananda, whose name was Rasik Ananda, or also Rasik Murari. Srila Prabhupada explains, Rasik Murari was the son of a Brahmin king. Yet he took formal diksha and surrendered his life to Shyamananda, who was from a cowherd community. Generally, according to smarter tradition, you can only take initiation from a caste Brahmin. However, the greatest of all transcendentalists from these great soils of Utkala or Orissa, Rasikananda, a Brahmin son of a king, accepted initiation from a person who was not born a Brahmin and surrendered his life to him. There are many wonderful, wonderful stories of Sri Rasikananda. He was born in great luxury. He was brilliant, brilliant scholar, very, very beautiful. He was married when he was very young to a most chaste, faithful, and devoted wife. One day while he was sitting in one of his father's properties, he was meditating on Krishna, and Krishna appeared to him in his beautiful, beautiful threefold bending form and told him, you should accept initiation from Shyamananda. He is your eternal spiritual master. Then he opened his eyes and saw Krishna standing right before him. From that day on, his mind was simply fixed only on Shyamananda, even though he never saw him before. But in Vrindavan, Krishna also appeared to Shyamananda and told him, you go to Utkala, and one of my dear, dear devotees, Rasik Murari, you must initiate. So after some time, he came. During a Bhagavat, there was the discussion of Srimad Bhagavat in the king's court, and Shyamananda Prabhu came in, and they could immediately recognize each other, even though they had never met before, just by the arrangement of Krishna. After everyone left, Rasikananda Prabhu offered his life and soul at the feet of Shyamananda. from that day on, Shyamananda was instructing him in so many ways. And one day, Shyamananda came to his home, and he had a little baby girl, Rasikananda. And Shyamananda began to speak the mantra in her ear. So Rasikananda said, "You should also initiate me." So then he initiated Rasikananda, and Rasikananda went to his wife, whose name I believe was Icha, and said, "You please take initiation also. The whole purpose of our being married is to serve Guru and Krishna." She said, "My husband, in every way I want to help you in serving Krishna." So then she came out and she surrendered at the lotus feet of Shyamananda. And she was initiated. Her name was Shyamadasi. So Rasikananda and Shyamadasi lived together very, very much, always immersed in the service of Krishna. Shyamananda's instructions were that you always chant the holy name and you always serve the Vaishnavas. And you spread this message of Lord Chaitanya to everyone throughout Utkala without discrimination. This is my order to you. So they were living in family with others, brothers and friends and relatives. Although Rasikananda would like to just go out into the forest for days and days and weeks at a time just to chant Hare Krishna and meditate on the beautiful leelas of Krishna. But in his house, he was so eager to serve Vaishnava. He'd love to invite Vaishnavas and feed them the best possible prasad and give them the best loving hospitality and invite them to speak and have nice katha and kirtan. But his family members were very much disturbed, always inviting these Vaishnavas to the house. "Who are these Vaishnavas? What are these Vaishnavas?" They were blaspheming Vaishnavas. So Rasikananda and his wife, Shyamadasi, they could not tolerate it. Rasikananda told his wife, "If you like, you can stay here, but I'm going to live in the forest. I cannot live in a house where they are not respecting Vaishnavas. If I cannot serve Vaishnavas here, I will live in the forest. You can stay if you like." She said, "I will go to the forest with you. Serving Vaishnavas is the only purpose of life." So they both left home and went to the forest. Later on, they were invited by one of his elder brothers. And even though his father had died, the wealth was to be divided amongst all of them. He said, "There's only one thing I want from the house. That's the deity of Krishna. You can keep everything else." So he took the deity to the forest. And soon all of his brothers lost everything and he gained a big, beautiful house and everything. People were just giving, 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 and his brothers losing, losing, losing. They always remain so simple. Shyamananda ordered him, "Become Parivrajakacharya, preach everywhere." In fact, he would travel with his Guru Maharaj and preach. One time he told his wife, "You stay, you take care of the deities, you serve the Vaishnavas, take care of the house. There are so many millions of fallen souls I must deliver." So he was never irresponsible or unfaithful, but she was very happy to assist him in every way in delivering this message of Krishna consciousness to others. He had hundreds and thousands, millions of disciples. He would go to kingdoms where there was these Yavana, Malecha, terrible, sinful kings, and he would convert the king and then tell the king to make all the kingdom Vaishnavas. He would initiate everybody. He would initiate entire kingdoms. And He was so learned and so pure, so charming to everyone's heart. In fact, one time he was traveling and he came to a kingdom. Kingdoms means usually there were zamindars, who were landholders, and everybody in that area was under their direction and guidance. So one of his disciples named Vaidyanath, he was preaching there. But that was in the district of a king. This king was a very terrible demon. He was a yavana. His name was Ahamad Beg. He had a regulation. He would murder at least 2 to 3 people every day. It's like we chant 1600. It's a regulation. And all the other zamindars and subordinate kings were so fearful of him, because if they did anything that wasn't according to his desire, even if it was just to intimidate them, he would torture them, he would exploit them, he was a meat eater, he was a very, very violent person. People all around totally feared him. He was so powerful. And all the other kings and landlords in that area would have to report to him. And most of them, he would convert them by force to become yavanas. So in the nearby area, Rasikananda was giving his katas. So all of these kings were going to him. Even the yavanas he converted were getting initiated by Rasikananda. And he heard about this. He became terribly furious, so angry. He asked, "Who is this person?" Ahamad Beg. They said, "He's so beautiful and he's so pure. He has so much love for Krishna. And whoever he looks at and whoever he gives the mantra to, whoever he preaches to, becomes blissful with Krishna consciousness. Everyone, without discrimination. Now hundreds and hundreds of the kings and the landlords are going to him to hear Bhagavad Katha." He'd be very, very disturbed at this. "He is a fake. He's simply making this dramatic performance just to exploit and cheat people. He must be punished. I order you, you tell him he must come here and see me. And let me see what kind of God he is." So the news came to Rasikananda that the cruel, murderous yavana king wanted to see him. So the messengers who gave him the message said, "Please don't follow this message. Go away. Don't see this king. He's very dangerous. He hates you. Hates everybody." And then his own disciples and associates said, "We have been in this place long enough. Let's go to another place." Rasikananda said, "I will go to see the king." They said, "Oh, you can't do this. He will take your life. He will take our lives. We should not go. It is too dangerous." Rasikananda said, "I am chanting the holy name of Krishna. What do I have to fear? Krishna always protects his devotees." Meanwhile, in the kingdom of Ahamad Beg, there was a terrible, wild, mad elephant that came out of the jungles and would attack his kingdom. almost on a daily basis. This elephant was so dangerous, so big, and so wild. He would literally crush houses. And he would kill the animals. And sometimes he would kill people. So one day this elephant was in the kingdom. And he was just screaming madly. And he was anything that came in his sight, he would murder. He was knocking down houses. He was killing animals. He was killing so many people. And nothing anyone could do about it because he was so huge with big tusks. So the king was watching this. And he said, this elephant is very great disturbance. This Rasikananda, he's supposed to be such a great Vaishnava. I will accept him as Lord Narayan if he gives Harinam Diksha to this elephant and makes him peaceful. When people heard this, they became very angry with the king for saying such blasphemy. But Rasikananda heard this. He said, yes, I will do. So he came with his disciples into the kingdom. When this elephant saw Rasikananda, he started charging toward him. The disciples said, Guru Maharaj, let's go. Then they all went. The disciples all left. He was standing all alone as this elephant was charging at him. Rasikananda, with the name of Krishna on his lips, just looked at this elephant right in the eyes with so much love and compassion. The elephant charged at him, then stopped. Right in front of him, he stopped. Rasikananda looked into his eyes and said, you should chant the holy name of Krishna and you should serve Vaishnavas. While you are wasting your life with all these cruel, violent, materialistic activities, the purpose of life is to realize Krishna and to love Krishna. The means of doing that is to always chant the holy name of Krishna and to be the humble servant of Krishna's devotees. Do not be arrogant. When you take to the path of bhakti, never be proud. Airavata, the elephant carrier of Indra, when he became proud, Krishna crushed him. And Gajendra was another elephant like you. Because he humbly called out the holy name of Krishna, he was saved. So you always take the name of Krishna and you always be the humble servant of Krishna's devotees. And never ever become proud. Give up your material attachments and illusions. And if you follow my instructions, very soon the divine son of Nanda Maharaj will bestow his causeless mercy upon you. This is what he spoke to the elephant. When the elephant heard this, tears started coming out of his eyes. And in his heart he was thinking, what Rasikananda is saying is true. It is all perfectly according to the Shastra. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Rasikananda. Rasikananda took his hand and placed it on the elephant's head, and then in the right ear of the elephant, he initiated him by giving him the Maha Mantra. In his right ear, he chanted, Hare Krishna! Upon hearing the mantra and getting diksha, the elephant stood up in great ecstasy. Then he started offering repeated obeisances to Rasikananda, again and again and again, offering dandavat obeisances. Then Rasikananda told him, "From this day on, your name will be Gopal Das." The elephant started offering hundreds of obeisances, weeping and crying and rolling and chanting the holy name. Gopal Das then circumambulated his Guru Maharaj and did not want to leave him. He wanted to stay in his association forever. But he had a mission to chant the holy names and serve the Vaishnavas. So with great pain in his heart of having to leave his Guru, but joy of receiving the mercy, Rasikananda said, "You be peaceful. You do not harm any other living beings. You just be the servant of the servant of the servant and chant Hari Nam." The elephant, with tears of love and gentle compassion flowing from his eyes, he returned to the jungle. Ahamar Veg. When he saw this, he understood, this is Lord Narayan. He came out and fell at the lotus feet, this cruel, wicked, demoniac, murderous Yavana king. He came out and fell at his feet, and with all humility he prayed that, "I am such an offender. I sent people to bring you to see me, only to punish you. Please forgive me for my offense and accept me as your servant. I surrender to you." Rasikananda Prabhu explained to him, "I came to this kingdom just to give you Krishna Bhakti. But on the way I happened to see this elephant. Why should a devotee be afraid of anything? The Lord and Master of my life is Krishna, whose expansion is Lord Narayan. There are seven lower planetary systems, there were seven higher planetary systems, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Satyaloka. Above Brahmaloka is the spiritual world. Lord Narayan, all the Brahmas, the Shivas, all the Indras, all of these most great powerful personalities are all emanating from the pores of the body of Lord Narayan. Sometimes Brahma has four mouths, sometimes he has millions of heads. They are all subordinate to Lord Narayan. And that all-powerful, supreme controller of everything that exists is in the heart of every living being, including that elephant. When I ask that elephant to chant the holy names, by the mercy of Lord Narayan, he accepted." Devotee is only afraid of one thing: to forget Krishna, to offend Krishna, to offend his devotees. Other than that, Krishna is our protector. In life or death, Krishna will protect us if we're always faithful to the chanting of his holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. Rasik Murari initiated the king, and then his whole kingdom, hundreds and thousands of people, all became his disciples. He practically made the whole of Orissa his disciples between he and Shamananda. Very, very powerful Krishna. And in his last days, he told his disciples, that when I leave my body, I want my body to be buried in Ramana, that holy place where Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda worship Gopinath, that holy place where the samadhi of Madhavendrapuri is. Please put my body there. Srila Madhavendrapuri ki, Vikir Chora Gopinath ki, Srinithai Gaura Chandra ki, Srinivasikananda Prabhu ki, Sriram Chandra Bhagavan ki, Sita Thakurani ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki, Sri Ramanagram ki, Kill, 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 kill